second speaker, we have Pat R.
Hello, everyone. My name is Pat. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 7th, 1994, and I'm going to do the best I can. My sponsor John used to say when they ask you to speak, and you're trembling around with the words and wish they come out correctly, hold your coin in your pocket and the words will come to you. Think of your higher power. So I'm going to give it a shot. Anyways, I was born in August 7th, 1955 in Catskill, New York, in the old hospital when it was open back then. And I was raised in Leeds, New York. My father, he worked for IBM for a number of years. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom for a while. And then later on, she went out and she got jobs working as waitresses and stuff like that in different areas. And I have two other brothers. I'm the second to the oldest, and I have three sisters. So there's, my father used to always say he had three hits and three misses. Anyways, that's an old joke. At first, it was a normal household, and then when my mom started working in the different restaurants and stuff like that, she hung out with different people that would go to the bars and stuff like that afterwards. And you know, then alcohol came into the house, and my father was not like, you know, it was a lot of friction in that household when I was a kid, a lot of friction, and there was a lot of domestic violence, and I was like this kid, you know, that was breaking up these battles, and I can remember. Just like yesterday, you know, saying I'm going to get out of here as soon as I'm old enough to get out of here, you know. I went through 12 years of Catholic school in Catskill. my first job I got when I was a kid, I was 13. I worked at the Irish Center in Leeds, and I just washed dishes and swept the street and stuff like that. And back then, it was pretty common to see someone sleeping on a sidewalk from the night before. You know, Leeds in those days, you know, back then, it was like there was all kinds of bars all up and down the street, and it was very, very, very busy area. A lot of tourism, same as East Durham, but you know, between Leeds and East Durham is like the Irish Alps. And I worked there for a while. I went out to Cape Cod. I always seemed to work in the kitchens, you know, when I was young. I did a lot of work in kitchens and restaurants and stuff like that. And I worked out in Cape Cod. And when I came back from the season out there, I ended up getting married real young too. I married a girl that was down the street from where I was, and I remember, you know, there was a fellow that was in town, and his mom owned one of the hotels, and you'd see him around every once in a while, and then you wouldn't see him, and I'd say, "What's that guy do for a living?" And they say, "Well, he works on one of the tugboat companies in the city." So now at this time, I had the restaurant. I was a young guy. I had the restaurant in Leeds for four years. I was only 20 years old. I'm married now. And I had two small boys by the time I was 20, 22. And I think my second son was 24 when he was born. I was 24 when he was born. Anyways, I remember my ex-wife, at the time, she was going on to me about the way I was drinking it back then. And I used to justify it. Well, if you had all this responsibility like I have, you know, you'd be entitled to it. I got like 20 people on the payroll. I've got this restaurant that's open 24 hours, 7 days a week. You know, all this stuff going on. You know, I did stuff like that so it would justify my drinking, because I didn't want nobody, you know, on my back about it, because I really like to drink. I really love to drink, you know. I love the action. I love to be out there. I drank a lot with the older guys. I just liked being out in that action, you know. So anyways, one time we went down to the Bowery to get restaurant equipment. And, you know, my ex-wife came with me. My partner came with me. We were down there. And there was guys sleeping on the sidewalk. I told my ex-wife, she said, that's an alcoholic. That's not me. They don't have all this stuff going on in their lives, you know? It's all bullshit. That's all it was. It's total bullshit. So anyways, down the road a little ways, I ended up getting a job with the tugboats. Back then they had cooks on the boats. And I ended up getting a job in 1980. That's when my career started on the boats. And I figured, well, this is good opportunity for me. I'm 25 years old now. And I get this job, and I got benefits for my kids. And she surely is going to stay off my back with my drink. And I should have, you know, clear reins. Anyways, I'd go away for 2 weeks, and I come home for 2 weeks. That was the schedule. Go away for 2 weeks, come home for 2 weeks. Got benefits, got the whole shebang. So when I come home for 2 weeks, instead of going home, I'd be at the Irish Center in Leeds. So that didn't sit too well. So one time I come home for my 2 weeks, and my bags are packed on the porch. You know, and by this time the booze had its grip on me. It had its grip on me, and I really didn't care. You know, it didn't care. You know, I wrecked so many cars in my lifetime. I remember one time drinking and driving and stuff. And it was actually 1982. And I had a really bad, a friend of mine lent me his Volkswagen. And I was pronounced dead at the scene of that accident. I was in a coma for 5 days. And the reason I wrecked my friend's car is because my own car was in the body shop, because I wrecked that 2 weeks beforehand. So anyways, I happened to run into the cop that was first on the scene at that accident when I was there. I had an out of body experience in that. I felt myself raising up, looking down at myself on the street. It happened in Catskill, and I heard this voice, and it sounded like my grandmother says, "No, it's not time. You've got things to do." And I went back down, and that's my God's honest the way I felt. Anyways, I met the cop down in Florida. He was friends with my sister. She lived down there. And I said to him, I said, "How come you didn't give me a ticket that night of that accident?" He said, "Because you were dead. You're not supposed to be here." You know, and I always say you can't scare a drunk. You know, I've seen it with my mom. I've seen it so many times with different people. You know, and it didn't scare me then either. But I used to hear this thing in this little voice in my ear say, you know, you got to do something about your drinking. Yeah, I'll take care of that. But I didn't do nothing about my drinking for quite a while. I got a DWI in 84, and I got another one in 86. You know, so they sent me to, first they sent me up to care of mental health. And there was a woman there that was like in charge of that, her name is Barbara. She was in charge of the probation department too back then, and I bullshitted her, you know. And then she sent me over to see the Greene County Alcohol Services, and at that time it was in St. Patrick's Convent up behind St. Patrick's School up on, I think it's Woodland Avenue, and the old convent that was behind there, and that's where the Greene County Alcohol Services were. So I go in there, it was about an hour, and the woman that was there, her name was Irma. And a couple of people here know who I'm talking about. And anyways, so she gives me a whole barrage of questions, and I'm answering her all these questions, you know. And after the like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, she says, "Okay." I said, "Well, how do I do?" She said, "You've been lying through me since you walked through the door." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, you haven't told me the truth one. I said, "You're an alcoholic, and you bullshitted me from when you walked through the door." I said, "How'd you know that?" She said, "Because you didn't look me in the eye." So I said, "Really?" I said, "Okay." So I go back to the Irish Center, and there's this guy in there. His name was Jeff. And I said, "You know what she told me?" Because he knew Irma. She said, "She told me I was an alcoholic, and I've been lying through her." She said, "Don't listen to her. That woman's nuts." She says, "Go up and see Sister Phyllis up at the Honor Court. She'll give you your license back." I was like, okay, great. Give the bar a round, you know, for that information. So I go up to see Sister Phyllis up in Albany, and she's asking me pretty much the same questions Irma was, but I'm looking her in the eye, I'm lying to her too. I said, and she said, well, you got to take these drink and driving courses. You know, you got 14 of these things to do. Or maybe it was 12. And, you know, you come in, listen to somebody up here in a room, and they sign a piece of paper for you, and you come back, you give them to me. I said, okay. But you don't understand. I work out of town. I work 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. How am I going to get them done in 2 weeks? I'll be doing this thing for 2 years. She says, well, go here in East Greenbush this night. Go up to Troy this night. Go to this place in Albany this night. So she had the whole thing done in 14 days. And I got my license back. You know, I said, okay. So I says, well, I guess I'm going to have to find a place close to my house where I don't have to drive so far to get to drinking. So there's a little place that opened up by me that's called the Hideaway. It's long closed, but, and that was my frequent go-to place. I mean, I was like a bar stool there, you know, and anyways, I wrecked another few cars leaving that place too. So I'm still at work. I'm working on the job, you know. When I first got the job with the boats, the first job I had to go to when I was 25 was I had to meet a tanker down in Baltimore. And I'm walking down the dock in the middle of the night in this oil refinery in Baltimore. And I was cooking back then. And, you know, I see all these rough, tough, gruffy guys and stuff like this. And I'm only a young guy. I said, what the heck did I get myself into? You know, I felt like saying, well, get the heck out of here. This is crazy. You know, like a bunch of pirates. But I didn't. And I cooked their breakfast and all that stuff like that. And then I noticed that after breakfast is over, I'm washing dishes and everybody's going up the street. I said, where are those guys all going? Oh, the bar's open in Maryland. It's at 6 o'clock in the morning. I says, really? Oh, I like this job. And that was the start of my career. That was, and I just retired from that career. I just retired in April for 43 years doing that. But I'm proud that I can say that, because by rights, I should have been fired many, many times, and I should have been dead many, many times. But I went back to work, and I took some tests. I ended up getting a license to, you know, work oil barges and stuff like that. And I got out of the cooking. I got onto the barges. And eventually I became a barge captain. And then there was different guys that I had drank with, you know, over the years in where I work. You know, and they got sober. And I said, how the heck did they get sober? They were, you know, they were pretty heavy hitters. And, you know, different people say they went to AA and they went to detox and then to AA and stuff like that. And really, and anyways, the woman I'm married to now, Joanne, she worked for St. Peter's. She worked there for 27 years. And I asked her to get me literature for Spark, you know, and she did. And it would sit on the table, and she'd get up and leave first thing in the morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'd kiss her goodbye, and she'd go out the door. And as soon as she'd go out, I'd start drinking, you know. I was a blackout drinker. I was a round-the-clock drinker. I did, you know, I hear different stories of people that were periodics. I was never a periodic, you know. Up until today, the last time I've never abstained from drinking more than 4 or 5 days, you know. So anyways, the one night I got in this big argument with my ex-wife on the phone, and I knew that the gig was getting up, you know. I was going to be able not going to be able to see my kids, you know. I just knew it. And I, for whatever reason, that night I said, you know, this is it. I poured everything down the sink, and I told my wife now. I said, you know, call up, make the arrangements for tomorrow, you know. And I really wasn't that drunk that night, you know. But she did. She said the next morning, she said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I says, "Yeah." And, you know, and I went into St. Peter's. I went into detox first, you know. And I say this all the time. I went into and back then, and like I was in there for 4 or 5 days, and I was out without a drink then. I felt like King Kong when I got out of it. You know, I'm looking out the window from the 7th floor, and it was across the street. There was a bar called Thirsty's, and I says, "Man," I said, I really want to go over there when I get out of here," you know. But it didn't happen out like that. I remember that there was a there was a meeting in Cairo. I remember there was a meeting on Cairo because I was introduced to these rooms in 84, 86. And I ended up going up there. I saw some people that I had drank with over the years there at that meeting. And they said to me, said, "Pat, what are you doing here, you know?" I said, "Please don't throw another log on my denial fire. You know, I need to be here. I really need to be here." And that's kind of like how my whole journey started. You know, I kept on coming. You know, there was a lot of old timers. I was so grateful for the fact that the old timers took me under their wing, and they really, really helped me so much. And I started a little painting business back then, and all the people I was working with painting these houses, they were all people in the program, you know. And like every day was like a, you know, we were reciting the steps, you know, how it works and everything. And, you know, it was like constant recovery. So then I took a little time off of work when I was getting help, and then I ended up going back to work. And some of the gifts that sobriety have given me, you know, some of the gifts, I ended up going back to work, we had just purchased a bunch of equipment, you know, and they asked me if I wanted to be a barge captain on one of their biggest units, and I went on that, and it was a big barge. Now some of the units we have are much bigger. But anyways, at the time, so I was on that barge for a while, and you know, I told Michelle I'm gonna tell everything tonight. I was in Providence, Rhode Island, as a barge captain, and the dockman calls me on the radio. He says, "Pat, we have some," he didn't say Pat, he said, "we got some visitors coming up that wants us to come up the ladder." You know, it's like 11:30 at night. And I says, "Well, that's an odd time for the Coast Guard to come up here," you know. So up the ladder comes my two brothers and the woman I'm married to today, Joanne. And they come up to the ladder, and they come in the galley, and they told me my youngest son, Kevin, committed suicide. And that's the only time, and I'm not making this up, that's the only time in my sobriety that I ever thought about saying, "Screw it, what's it worth?" You know? But I didn't. I remember so many times here listening to Bob L. saying there's many excuses for picking up a drink, but never a good reason, you know? You know, and the first thing I did when I got back to town, back to Casco, is I hit the Coxsackie Gratitude Group, you know. That's, and Joel was in there, and Joel said, "Pat," he says, "if there's any," he says, he, for some reason, my son was very popular in school, and it just spread like wildfire, you know, that this happened. And he said, if I knew I could bring your son back sat here and drank a bottle of scotch, I would do that in a heartbeat. But I know that's just not the way it's going to happen." And I took that at face value. He's the person that was instilled gratitude in my life, you know, being grateful for what you have, you know, and, you know, think things through, you know. And I wouldn't trade this life for nothing. The way I was living before was not living. I have done so many things in recovery, in sobriety, that I used to sit at the bars and talk about doing. You know, and it's unbelievable. It really is. My other son is in recovery today, and he's a counselor. And I'm very proud of him. He's 46. So we're all getting old. So anyways, and I don't know if I can come up with anything else. Am I good? That's all I have, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.